You can turn into your Bibles or pew Bibles. We're going to be looking at Colossians. If you're going to use, it's not going to be on the screen this morning, giving you a heads up, because it's a whole chapter. All right? I thought it would be a little heavy work for our tech team to try to stick with me through the whole chapter. So I said, why don't they just use their own Bibles? So I said, all right, that's good. And we have pew Bibles there. I'll even give you the page number, 1,676. There you go. Now you do your part. You know, sometimes it's helpful to know that others are concerned for you. Sometimes we might get a note or send a note that might say, thinking about you, or praying for you. And other times, you might say, that's good, but I need a little more. I'd like a little more. Extended words of encouragement or prayer might be helpful. In the book of Colossians, Paul writes to let the believers know that he is thinking about them and extends the message to give specifics. So one of the things that I would like us to kind of mull about in the next 3 weeks is that I want us to be in the role of Paul in such that we care for other believers in the church. That you might write a letter to someone, or you might be praying for someone, just as Paul did to these believers in the church at Colossae. We're going to meditate upon those verses. Paul writes to them, and he had not met them yet. He was not in this city. Colossae was a city about 100 miles from Ephesus, and Paul was in Ephesus for about 3 years. And while there, he ministered to a man named Epaphras, who then took the gospel back to Colossae. Colossae was also near two cities, Laodicea and Hierapolis, and they're located today in modern-day Turkey. So you can, there's still a mound there where the ancient city was. You can look it up and check out where this was a real city in real time. I believe the letter is still significant for us today. We're going to hear how prayer should be an essential part of our relationships. We'll be encouraged to worship Jesus together as we've just done. I love it how the songs of the praise team choose and fit in with what I'm about to tell you and how the Spirit works that together. We'll be encouraged to worship Jesus together, for there is none like Him. Amen? I'm going to also remind this family of faith that those who have believed how Jesus Christ transforms us. He doesn't just leave us as we are. We should be moving more and more into His likeness. The series is called Glorious Riches. It's from a phrase that's in our text today. Here's the verse where the phrase comes from. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glorious riches, Christ in you. He is our hope for glory. Okay, everyone ready to look at the text? You have it? You have engaged your mind? Your visual leaders can see the words? If you don't want to, it's not going to be on the screen. You can just close your eyes and listen to it if that helps you focus. But if you close your eyes and you start drifting off to sleep, you might want to open your eyes. If I see you falling over, I'm like, are you listening? Colossians 1, Paul wrote this to the church in Colossae while he was imprisoned. He writes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. Right? He heard of their faith and he heard of their love. Last week's message was on two things, remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we do those things, that'll be a part of our story, our testament. That'll be people we're seeing. Are you known because you're a person of faith? Are you known for someone who loves with the love of Christ? Paul heard about that, and he says, we've heard about that. Verse 5, the faith and love that spring up from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. He says true message there because there were some deviations of the message of the gospel that were falling upon Colossae. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Coventry Church, do we believe the gospel is bearing fruit among us? Are we seeing it? Okay? Does a letter apply to us? Praise be to God, it is. Let the gospel continue to bear fruit among us. Verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Paul was on a roll. He's writing it out, and he's like, just flowing through the power of the Spirit. It's a long sentence. It's a lot in there. Verse 13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Praise be to God. Verse 15. Now, that's the introduction. That's Paul's, hello, I know you, grace and peace to you. We've been praying for you. And then he goes immediately to this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Wow. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You should be amazed that the one who is so supreme, so awesome, there is so no one like Jesus Christ, made peace by giving his life on the cross. That was the price for peace. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. What a gift. Aren't you glad for that? Does that still speak a message to you? To me it does. Praise be to God. If, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Praise be to God for the recording of his word, for the reading of it, and for the hearing of it. Three things to encourage you this morning. First of all, as we connect to Christ, we are strengthened through prayer. If you read this whole letter, which you should do, I'm encouraging you to read it all this week. It'll take about 5 minutes. You're going to see that the theme of prayer through the letter. Prayer connects us to Jesus. He said in 1:3, Paul says, we always thank God when we pray for you, because we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people. So in verse 3, they're starting with prayer. So, church, I expect you to be praying as a follower of Jesus. If that seems like I shouldn't need to say that, you need to pray. You should pray. It's a gift. Not only for yourself, you should be praying for others. Sometimes we can tell others, we can tell others through notes or emoticons even online, praying for you. Good. Then do that. Don't just say, I'm going to do that and don't do it, but do that. Be encouraged to know, it's encouraging to me to know that I'm being prayed for. Pray for each other. To the extent that people know your life, your joys, your successes, your struggles, and your distractions, they can adjust their prayers and pray specifically. So some of us don't know each other very well. Some of us know us, I don't know who knows me the best in here. Well, Tracy does, but and then my children. And then beyond that, it ripples down and out. But all of you know me a little bit. You can pray for things. I share some things. I know some things about you and your life, but I don't know everything about you. I don't know, for most of you, where your biggest temptation to sin is, or your biggest success in the Lord, or where you find joy in the Lord. Some of you I know better than others. So the power of us being together and sharing intimately in safe spaces is that we can pray then specifically, and we can go after things together. This is why I invite you to move beyond surface relationships into genuine, trusting relationships. You know, prayer is our reliance upon God's power. It's not in our strength that we can overcome. It's in God's power that lives in us. And what a gift we have to pray. Prayer should be so present in our lives that we should be praying without what? Ceasing. Good, that was a little Bible quiz right there. Some of you passed. Pray without ceasing. We can thank God in our prayers that the gospel of Jesus Christ has reached us, and it's reaching more and more. We can absolutely, with grateful hearts, thank Jesus for loving us so much that he laid down his life for us. We can thank God that he has made a way for us to draw near to his holy presence and has given us entry into the kingdom of heaven. We can thank God that we have the privilege to know him and give our lives to follow him, participating in his glory. So, thank him. We thank God. Thank God for it. We're strengthened when we pray. Prayer directs your mind to the Father. If you're going through an anxious moment, if you're battling depression, if you're struggling and fighting with addiction, pray. Direct your mind to God. Engage Scripture and pray that. Start thanking God for the blessings in your life to get your mind off of whatever it is that's pulling you in that direction. Prayer strengthens the church. Learn to pray to be strengthened in the Lord. We should be praying for our own good, but also for our family of faith. Paul wrote this in Colossians 1:9. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Well, I can honestly say, and you can too, I don't know that person. I don't know what to pray for. So let's be together. Let's get to know one another. Let's spend time and share. Small groups that meet together over the course of 16 weeks has the great opportunity for relational growth and to experience the power of prayer. Now, Paul gives us some specifics that we can pray for other believers so that we can execute our pledge when we say, I'm praying for you. This is enough to fill a prayer year. All right? Here they are. We continually ask God in 1:9 to fill you with a knowledge of his will. This is from the Lord's Prayer, right? may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fill you with the knowledge of his will. If we pray this over our decisions and considers God's will as revealed by the Spirit and the Word, it can keep us from sin. It can keep us in the blessed state of obedience. Oh Lord, would you fill me with the knowledge of your will? And we pray for our young adults that are going off to school. Lord, we pray that they would be seeking your will. We pray they would have a knowledge of your will that would guide them and keep them, a hunger for your ways, so that we can live a life worthy of the Lord. It's not just that I know his will that I can just get, you know, be good there, but that I can then respond to that and live a life worthy of his, of him. And that I can bear fruit in every good work. And I can be growing in the knowledge of God. If we get answers to those things, if we start praying that and get answers to those things, we'll see lives of faith, we'll see love, we'll see fruit, we'll see growing relationships with God. The reason I may not be here Wednesday night is I have a chance to go see my niece. She's going through a difficult season, and Wednesday nights offer the chance for me to visit her. And I went last week, Tracy and I went, and we sat with her, and in the process of sitting with her, I walked away from the visit saying, man, I know her better than I ever have before. So may it be so in our relationship with God as we continually ask, Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will. Tell us who you are. I want to sit with you. I'm asking, I'm praying that. The prayer of Paul for the believers at Colossae, Paul was real. I mean, he wrote it from prison, right? He knows that being a Christian was not like, what's the word? Fluffy. It was not comfortable. It was not without risk. He's running from prison because of Christ. So he says, I'm going to pray some things for you. He knew that. He knew to pray these things. He says, we too pray for each other that you may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Praying to God and being strengthened by prayer doesn't mean that all obstacles, all hardships and barriers are going to be taken for us. It doesn't even mean that you'll be healed in his time, in our timing, in our time frame. But it does mean that we can have his power work within us and strengthen us. So we pray for each other to be strengthened. You're going through some hard things, and you will continue to go through hard things. We pray for each other to be strengthened with the Lord's power that lives within us, that we might have endurance and patience. But then we also give joyful thanks because of what he has done. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom. I love how he describes the kingdom, right? The kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of the Son he loves. Prayer is an act of faith that strengthens the body of Christ. Paul encourages us in the church to pray. And he does so with a thankful attitude. The message is called Connected in Christ. If Christ lives within you and you and you and you, we have the same Christ. We are connected. We should be praying for each other. Got it? That's the first point. The second is that we should also, we're also connected by Christ, and we should also engage regularly in all-filled worship of Christ. To stand and sing in awe of him. It's an experience that we should experience regularly together, and it connects us. One of the great attacks of Satan, the devil, is to create doubt and deception in our lives and also regarding the character of Jesus. So I have the privilege to remind you who Jesus is this morning, as Paul did to the church in Colossae. I pray that as we worship together, We do so in awestruck wonder that the Holy Lamb of God, the one and only Son, the Prince of Peace, would die in our place. We who are connected to Jesus Christ exclaimed, I have a Redeemer. Someone purchased your freedom, your eternal freedom. It costs something. We have one. We have a Redeemer. We also are united as we exclaimed, my Redeemer lives. Who's your Redeemer, Ted? He's mine too. We're united in that. Right? Amen. We have a Redeemer. He's risen from the dead and he leads us into eternity. Connected in Jesus Christ, we gather together to focus on him. His message to us in the Bible, we sing together, uniting our voices in praise and worship. I believe it pleases the Father, the Son, and the Spirit when we come together and we sing. As we focus in, as we know who Jesus is, and we say, you are worthy. You alone are worthy. We're joining with those in heaven who are singing to you. In the later in the letter, chapter 3, Paul writes this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Listen to the means that this happens. Through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Music can minister, and it does. It teaches and admonishes us. Yeah, that's awesome. Cruz is fired up. Hey, buddy. Your notes in your Bible might suggest, as mine did, that first that Colossians 1, 15 to 20 was an early hymn sung by the church. These words counteract the false teaching that was impacting the church. The false teachings quite possibly devalued the character of Jesus. They promoted the false worship of angels. They overemphasized Jewish traditions or asceticism, which was like, don't touch this or don't taste that. The hymn elevates Jesus to be the supreme creator and the supreme redeemer. When we get this right, when we all strive to know Jesus as Paul describes him, and we come with one voice to worship and adore as the voice of the redeemed, we connect with each other and with Christ. Worshiping in spirit and truth should be a highlight of your week. Not something you have to just get through. Jesus is worthy of our best, our sincerest. Paul writes to clarify the person of Jesus. These are phrases that you can pray, you can meditate upon, you can use to worship. He writes, the Son is the image of the invisible God. You've seen the Son. Jesus says, you've seen the Father. The Son is the image of the invisible God. He came, he took on flesh to live among us. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Any firstborns here? The firstborn in the family would have better rights than the second, third, fourth, fifth born. The firstborn was special. The firstborn. Not that the second is not special. They're special. Any special secondborns here? Yeah. All right. You're all special. Jesus is the firstborn. Certain rights in relation to all of creation belong to him. He has priority. He has preeminence. He is above and over all creation. Jesus, the one who died on the cross for our sins. Jesus is the creator. All things were made through him and for him. You come in to the will of God when you say, man, I need to think about how Jesus would do this in a situation and align my life to him. Because he made it. He made it. He's the creator. Jesus is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Are we connected to Jesus? For sure. We're the body. He's the head. Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Paul says the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. He's not just a good prophet. He's not just a good rabbi, a good teacher. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus. He is the sacrificial lamb that has reconciled all things to himself. Things in heaven, things in earth. Should we pay attention to Jesus? Do you want to connect to Jesus? Can you connect to Jesus? Yeah, why not? There was no one like him. Let's be awed. Let's stand in awe of who he is. You may not know that yet, or you might not have a moment of that all the time. You're like, man, how can I be in awe of Jesus? And I'm just trying to get through the work day, the work moment, the season with my kids. They're driving me nuts. How can I stand in awe of Christ? I don't have time to breathe. I got to make dinner. I got to wash clothes. I got to mow the yard. Everything, everything. Whoa, 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 whoa. See, I live it too, right? You live it. It all presses in. Everything does. You got to take time to stand in awe of who Jesus is. Rise early. Create space. Have the grandparents watch your children. It's important for us to recognize Jesus regularly. We go after that in our time of singing here and through the preaching of the word. But you can't just get 30 minutes of it on Sunday morning and be good for the week. Last point today is that we're transformed by Christ in us. Reading from Colossians 1, 13 to 14. Listen, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Together, we are a transformed people because of the work of Jesus. Amen? We are together. He has done it. We've been made right before a holy God because the Father sees the Son in us. We share this testimony. We share that testimony. You're made right by Jesus. I'm made right by Jesus. It connects us. I've got a Savior. Who's your Savior? Our unique stories are different, however. Our testimonies are different when we tell them, but they converge at the cross. And in the description of our Savior. And they share, our stories share these before and after descriptions. Paul says them to the church in Colossae. He says them to us today. He says, before we were in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, we were alienated from God. That means you weren't close to God. You were alienated from God. Before you were in Christ, you were alienated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Sometimes it's hard to know the truth and where we were. But it's sometimes good to remember that too. That's who I once was. And now, after being in Christ, I am reconciled by Christ's physical body. I present as holy in God's sight as you do because of Christ. Wow, thank you, Paul, for telling us, reminding us. I stand without blemish. I stand free from accusation because Jesus took it for me. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. What's your response to that? Paul says what it should be. He says, continue in your faith. Continue in your faith. You don't just say, oh, good, thank you, Jesus, and then go live however. You continue in your faith because you follow after him. Establish and firm. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. So you keep telling that to us over and again. While we have breath in our lungs, until we pass from the temporary fully into the eternal, we can participate with the Holy Spirit who works to make us more like Jesus. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in this last point, transformed through Christ in us, to inspect your daily routines, your speech, your reactions, your passions, and pray to God asking for the knowledge of his will in your life so that you might demonstrate that you belong to Jesus. In doing so, we declare that Jesus is worthy to rearrange our lives. These questions might prompt you to encourage others. Last slide. What does your transformation story include? What does your transformation story look like? What's going on? What was going on in your life when Jesus saved you? Do you recall that moment? How did you come to know that you are a follower of Jesus? What have you learned from following Jesus? How has God used you to display the kingdom of heaven? Where have you taken missteps? How has Jesus reminded you of his love and his power and his plan? All of us have stories we can tell. Oh, Cruz. See you, buddy. I had to preach really well today. There's a lot of distractions here. It's the cutest distraction, probably, for a long time. Colossians 1, 28 and 29 says, He, Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. We're going for maturity in Christ. To this end, Paul says, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. May the power of Christ work in us to bring us to maturity. Praise team, come on up. We got a good closing song this morning. Not that we don't always have good closing songs, but this one fits right in with the message, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. Being connected to Jesus Christ, it brings us into a glorious kingdom, into a family of faith where Jesus is the supreme head. We're connected by Christ to the church. Pray, 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 pray. Pray for your family members. Pray for someone you sit next to in church that you know. Talk with someone in fellowship time and say, yeah, I'll pray for that this week for you. Pray for your small group. We're strengthened by prayer. Jesus is worthy of our united worship. So let's be awed by him throughout the week and come Sunday morning ready to join together to sing. And let's be transformed by Christ. As we tell our stories, may the power and love of Christ be evident. Have you decided to follow Jesus? It's a daily decision. Moment by moment in the day, I'm a follower of Jesus. What a privilege that is. He's awesome. Let's stand and declare it to him. Let's sing him worship.